Welcome, everybody, to yet another Face Rocker podcast. Matt is out this week, replaced by the unstoppable Benji Dolly, who is furiously giving us thumbs up. Those of you watching at home will have seen said thumbs up antics. Those of you listening on the iPods, the iPads, and whatever iDevices you happen to own, we'll have to go to our site, rocketjump.com, to see said visual shenanigans. Let's go around the table once again. I'm Freddie.
Hey, I'm Dez.
Benji.
Logan Olson.
We're also joined today by my Google Glass, everybody.
Hello, Google Glass.
I'm sitting here furiously trying to get to connect to our wireless network.
Have you named it? Have you gave it a nickname yet?
Like no, you name? Can't name it. It's just on my phone. It shows up as Freddie Wong's Google Glass.
Does it not sync like your iPhone does with iTunes, where you can actually give it some sort of
it
nickname
syncs,
or moniker?
No, it syncs to all the Google stuff, so all my contacts and stuff on the Google side of it. And the funny thing about it is I remember reading a couple things. One, the battery life, apparently abysmal, like 2 hours at most.
Oh,
like,
great.
It's supposed to be super bad. Number two, I remember reading about a lot of people complaining about it, getting this and complaining about it. And the thing that they were complaining about was that it gives me headaches. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't just be sitting there with your eyes rolled back into the back of your head looking at it like for 4 hours at a time. Maybe you should, you know, Google Glass is a sometimes
but
device.
But don't you think that's what Google wants you to do?
I don't think so.
Through their glass?
So here's the problem.
Looking at the world through a Google-colored glass.
So here's the problem with picking up Google Glasses. After you get it, the first thing you do, as soon as you get it, you walk out of their Google HQ, wherever you happen to be in LA, in my case, and you get into your car, and you have this thing on. And the first thing you do, and the first, I think everyone's first like 20 videos is just them driving while being like, okay, Glass, record a video. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm driving. It's like a point of view of driving, which is so wildly dangerous. I almost got like 3 accidents within the first 20 minutes of picking this thing up.
Is it legal to drive with them?
Probably not. Well, I'd probably just admit to something doing something super illegal. At least
is it actually? Because I remember they were talking about legislation to ban Google Glass while driving. Do you actually know what the current status of Google Glass while driving is?
I do not know the current legality.
Can you Google it right
now? I do
know. Okay, Glass, Google.
Okay, Glass, hold on. I do know the weather in Marina Del Rey. On the other hand,
is that where Google HQ
helpful
is?
To gorgeous, anyone. Gorgeous this time of year.
It's a balmy 65 degrees right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Pack your shorts.
Hold on, let me get my phone up. And the best part about it is when you go in, like they're like, oh, what kind of phone do you have? And I pull out my iPhone, and he goes, oh, well, you're not going to be able to access some of the features of Google Glass without an Android device. I'm like, I didn't come here to be sold a Galaxy S3, bro. Like, I'm just here to pick this thing up and maybe do a video with it. All right, here we go. Okay, Glass. What were we Googling again?
Driving laws.
Exciting.
Okay, Glass, Google driving laws with Google Glass. Does it recurse on itself? Like, can you say like Google okay Glass and it's like what? Like is it like a who's on first sort of thing?
That's a good question actually. So apparently it's paired up, I think, to my phone now. Okay, Glass. Google legality of Google Glass while driving in California. And it's going.
Does it talk to you?
No, now it's crap!
It's
still going. It's googling now.
Now we're talking.
Wait, everyone, just shut up! Oh god,
it's still typing all of it.
It's still shut up.
What a piece.
Okay, there we go. It's now it googled. Oh my gosh, it googled.
Thank God the battery will be dead in an hour and a half. We won't have to deal with this nonsense anymore.
This, by the way, making for great podcasting, great radio.
God we've got some cameras in here.
If you're really listening to this.
I know, I'm loud in my own headphones.
So okay, just to let you guys know, it just Googled, quote, legality of Google Glass while driving in California, and now it's going to talk. Now it's, okay, right now it's a trap. I just about to shut up. It's still shut up.
Nice.
Is what Google.
And your results?
Completely irrelevant to what we were going for. Some engineer somewhere sitting there being like wandering all the like incoming search results to see him be like, what the hell just happened here?
So I think this is a good time to talk about voice recognition a little bit.
Yeah.
And so how do you guys feel about voice recognition? As in, like, I talk in the computer.
Well, you know
what
I think about sometimes?
Saying.
So a bunch of different companies have come out here to like gather data. So Google, the sort of the infamous one was Google was surreptitiously doing it through Goog 411. If you remember, that was a free 411 service that they offered. And what they were doing with everybody who called in to say, hey, where's the nearest, you know, AAA from where I'm at, was getting just raw voice data in real world situations, in real world you know, sounding situations, and then using that to build their voice recognition algorithms, which I think as far as Google versus Apple, I think Google does a better job of it. Apple kind of did a different thing. I don't know, where did Apple get their data? Do you know?
Their data set? I don't know. I assume they outsourced it to a library similar to Apple Maps versus Google Maps.
So Siri versus Google, and it, to me, it's like, okay, it's very much a machine learning question. It's also one where it's like, there's who's pulling from the better data set. It's like, why not just combine it, guys? Like, everybody's working on their own independent version of the best
voice. I think
what
it comes down to is Google is really a big fan of harvesting oodles and noodles of data through its services and using that. While it seems that Apple pulls from a curated database, an example. This is really weird. I can see the reflection in your eye.
You
Freddie is recording
it.
Me, and
I'm
it
taking,
just
I'm taking it's, photos. Which will
it just feels really sexual when because it's not like, oh, look into the lens. It's like, look into my eyes.
It's
really weird. But anyways, nobody. If you look at Apple Maps, I believe they pulled all their Apple Maps data from
Yelp. I believe
no, it was a GPS company. It's the one that Google used for its like source data before. It's like, okay, we
Numi
need to actually work
something.
On this.
It's like one of those weird four letter.
It's one of those companies that all companies know about. It's like a business to business company.
Shut up. Okay, Glass. Google, what company did Apple use for their Maps app?
End. Can you end it? Can you say period?
Shut up!
There should be an end, right?
Everyone needs to... Great. What company did Apple...
I think what we're finding here is that maybe this is not the best interface for an active situation.
There seems to be a flaw.
Yeah. And that is... So the funny story about Google Glass is I saw a guy with it earlier when I was at E3.
It's hilarious.
And we were... And he was like, you know what the funny, weird thing is? He's like, I've had two separate locations, two totally different people run up to me when I had this on and shout, okay, Glass, Google donkey dicks, and then run off. And he's like, what the heck is it with donkey dicks that two completely different individuals would decide that this is what I need to be looking at right now?
Did he say whether it worked or not?
No, it didn't, because Google Glass also requires you to like look around and like you have to tap, like look straight up. By the way, we just Googled what company did Apple use for their Maps app and came in and it came up right. Maybe not the best thing when you have people talking over you.
Like every day,
yeah.
I think so far, noticing the Google Glass, I think the best feature so far I would have to determine is the Luke Devereaux feature, is the fact that the Google Glass makes you look like you're in the movie Universal Soldier. Other than that, it seems pretty pointless.
So style points.
I think we have style points.
Style points.
Like, if we threw you in a tub of ice cubes right now, you'd be in business. Like,
I like the fact that this entire time Freddie has just been looking up and to the right.
Right.
Like,
never looking at any of
never
us.
Never looking at any of us. Just up and to the right.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of rough.
Everyone else has to not talk so the Google Glass can respond.
You get yelled at if you're speaking.
Yeah.
During
so
a
there
search.
Is a built-in website viewer now. So now every meal can be done by looking up and to the right, and you can look around. Oh,
so imagine a world where none of us look at each other and we all yell at each other to shut up, and Google doesn't work because it.
And it'll be even easier to post
so
pictures of your
cool.
dinner to
if
Facebook.
If I hold the size of it, I can look around the website, and it's getting hot to the touch. All right, anyway, moving on.
The but future, everyone.
Everyone, the future. It's on. We have a video idea for it, actually.
Which is. Your GoPro videos, but now they're.
No.
Slimmer form factor?
No. We're still worried about it. It's sort of like a Chaplin-esque, like...
Chaplin-esque Baby's Day Out Google Glass edition.
Oh, Baby's Day Out. Now we're talking.
Yeah, that should cover it. I'll take a quick moment here to talk about... I was on Kevin Pollak's chat show last week, so if...
How's Kevin doing?
He's doing well. He does a super long, in-depth, like... podcast. He does like a 2-hour long interview where you just sit there and you really get into depth and into detail. And
who's Kevin Pollak?
Kevin Pollak is a stand-up comedian,
grumpy old man
slash actor. You've seen him in a lot of stuff. He's a character actor.
Usual Suspects.
The other guy in A Few Good Men. Yes.
Was he the hypnotism person?
Yes,
in your
he was
videos?
The hypnotism person.
Understood. Let's also try to use the hands a little bit. Let's see if we can use the hands.
But they look funny on video.
Yeah, dude, now that we have video, you
people
can use the hand.
Yeah, look, I would just wait till your lips stop moving and then I talk.
So, AKA use good social graces, Des?
Right, yeah.
I'm just noticing that so far we have not been using our good social graces.
We've been acknowledging the hand. Let the video record show that we've been acknowledging the hands that you've been putting
Except
up.
For that last phrase, actually, turns out.
Is that fair? Okay.
So can we talk about anime?
Wait, hold on. Let me just give one second. Head over to Kevin Pollak's chat show. It's on, you know, various podcasts and stuff. I was on the previous episode. Check it out. It's a good in-depth 2-hour long interview
with me.
Or
you could just watch Usual Suspects, because that's a ton of fun.
It is. Usual Suspects is a really good movie.
Did anything new come out about you in those 2 hours, like, that your hardcore fans wouldn't know?
Yeah, actually. I got much more in depth with like why and how I got started to making movies and stuff. It was a good interview.
Did you tell them about your business?
What? Yes. The one that we're... What?
This one?
The business, you know.
The business.
Or...
He's winking everybody.
Your
those
business.
Playing
the,
along
the business. No, not your business. The business.
Did you show him the
Did
business?
Did you just want to talk about anime? What about anime did you want to talk about?
Just what's your favorite? I just want to know what your guys' favorite animes are.
Hold on. You're asking
zero.
Two.
I have zero. Boy. I like football.
Two mutually exclusive things.
Yeah, you can't like football and anime.
Well, you know that.
Impossible.
Well, you know the anime
pick.
Con.
Anime
you
con. Watch football or anime. That's how it works.
Anime Con is coming to L.A. Next, what?
Anime?
Next
yeah, AX, right?
I just yeah, Anime, Expo, Anime Expo. Yeah, Anime Expo, AX. Sorry.
Will you be there, Freddy?
No.
Will you go if I go?
Yes, actually. Well, how about you and I go? We'll dual Google Glass it and
yeah,
just
bring
get,
your glass.
Yeah, bring your glass, bro.
If we were to cosplay together, what would you want to cosplay as?
That's a good question. Well, what is there? Is there any animes with, like, an Asian dude and a white dude of...
No, but we could do... I haven't seen Naruto for a while. My last time I watched Naruto, I believe it was actually Naruto Shippuden.
Shippuden? Shippuden is not Japanese.
And there was... I wasn't trying to be Japanese. I was just trying to pronounce
be
it
racist.
Phonetically.
Okay, right.
And there was a shark man and a... oh, God. What was the really tough guy's older brother? And they were dressed in, like, fun little muumuus with red flowers on them.
So you
want
to go cosplay to anime.
Yeah, let's cosplay together.
Well, here's the problem is that our anime... Our anime, I assume
Naruto's you, kind of long in the tooth at this point, is what
well,
I would assume.
Well, I assume you're a busy man, and I'm a busy man. And our anime.
Are you just knowledge. Weaseling your way out of
no,
this?
No, no, no. I'm just saying. Here's what I'm saying. I am afraid. I'm afraid that we'll show up and we'll look remarkably dated because our anime knowledge is probably ended by the time we finish high school.
So what if, is there anybody you know who could just give us the latest and greatest duo costumes and we could just go in
well,
those duo
you
costumes?
Know what? I'll tell you what. Let's throw it out to the crowd of listeners at home in the comments section.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge you, Freddie. I'd actually crank it up a little bit and use your Twitter account to see if you can get some cosplay costumes.
You should tweet now. Tweet
you
out.
Plus one.
I don't even know what anime is, but I'll jump in if
but
need
if,
be.
If we can, if we get a U plus one, Freddy, I will gladly cosplay the,
football.
The two of us like, in Google Glass and just experience like, anime con right.
Is there any anime characters that have Google Glass as part of their costume so that I can maintain a certain level
I think there's
of
a
continuity.
Lot of really cool dudes who love anime and live very healthy social lives without a lisp.
That sounded stereotypical and condescending.
What I said or what you said?
That was both. Satire, right?
No, man, I'm serious. But it sounds like Benji has a beef against anime. And
I don't have a
curious.
Beef against it.
Anime
just,
or anime? Anime? That's how we say
anime.
In
anime. Anime.
I say anime.
I ain't say no anime. Who's playing footballs on
really
the
quickly, Benji, what's your what do you think anime is?
It's just cartoons that aren't from America, right? That aren't as good. They're like cartoons. They're cartoons that all the people are skinny and tall, and it's not as good as
no, there is
like
Hanna Barbera. There is some Fatime.
Fatime.
That's a thing?
Fatime?
No, Logan. That's not a thing.
So, what's your favorite cartoon, Benji?
Favorite cartoon?
Yeah, just cartoon. Yeah.
Johnny Bravo.
Of course.
Yeah,
but of course. He plays a football.
How come?
He turned briefly into a German.
What happened to JB?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Dude, I love Johnny Bravo. That guy's a total player.
That's a fun cartoon.
Wait, who's Johnny Bravo? Not Johnny
that
Quest.
Was,
I'm sorry.
Cartoon
sorry,
Network when they had like Dexter's,
Laboratory,
and Powerpuff Girls.
Cow and Chicken. It was around that time.
That's a good run.
Yeah. Love Johnny Bravo. He's my boy.
How come?
Why? Yeah, why?
He's just awesome. He's an idiot. He walks around and everything goes
like,
terrible for him, but he still thinks it's great.
He
still thinks
like
he's the man.
David Putty voice.
Yeah. He's I don't know, kind of see a little bit of myself in old Johnny Bravo. Life isn't too good, but he doesn't notice that.
Benji
he's
Bravo.
He's still living the dream in his mind.
Is that your that sounds like your that. Porn name, Benji Bravo.
Benji Bravo? That's not
I've only seen two anime myself. I've seen Akira and Ghost in the Shell. That's
the two,
it.
Like the two gateway anime. Like I've taken two painkillers, Tylenol and Advil.
Yep.
Spirited Away, is that anime?
Yeah.
Technically, yes.
Okay, I saw that. Boom. saw that. That was okay.
Wasn't as good as fucking Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. There's no Johnny Bravo. Ain't no Jetsons, but okay. You know.
Ain't no Jetsons.
But really, what is? Logan, what is your history with anime?
I've seen many an anime in my day. I'd say Naruto might be my favorite anime.
Didn't Naruto move you to tears?
Yeah, dude, I've definitely cried during Naruto.
Like, and how many times seen, has
probably
Naruto
six or seven
moved
times.
You to tears?
Just tears everywhere. Let's see, what else have I seen? You know, there's all the, Toonami. If you ever watch Cartoon Network in the afternoon, there was Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saw Gundam. There was some other one with samurais in it. And then there's, you know, the movies, you said Spirited Away, right? There was what was the other big one that a lot of people saw from that same creator?
Mononoke.
Princess Mononoke, a lot of people saw as well. Or Howl's Moving Castle. And then there's all the ones with, My Neighbor Totoro and that pig that flies jets or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Pig that flies jets. Okay, now we're in business. What?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that sounds like...
Yeah,
I don't know
what that's called or something. And then, there's the Akira and Ghost in the Shell and Grave of Fireflies.
The Animatrix anime or is that American?
That's American. But indeed, the Eon Flux original short films were really awesome from Liquid Television.
Yeah, I remember.
On MTV, yeah.
Dude, those were
sweet. Back when MTV was cool.
Back then, not anymore. No way, Jose.
Mm-mm.
But no, yeah, I've seen a lot of anime, and it was all totally rad. I get really amped about that stuff. I feel like a lot of people ripped off anime, but never like
how so?
Like Superman, it's basically Dragon Ball Z. Like it's
I feel like Matrix sort of kicked that off.
Super did grab it. Totally ripped on Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. Like straight up, like the firing at the columns and them turning into apple cores. Like that's an anime.
If you
thing.
See the animatics for the original Matrix action sequences, they look just. They're just like anime shorts, really.
So how do you feel about that, Benji, as a man who doesn't like anime?
Feel about what?
Like, watching all these movies that totally ripped off anime, do you still think that you...
You've been watching anime, and you didn't know it. How do you feel about that?
I feel like right now I'm being schooled a little bit. A little more respect is seeping out of my pores as you...
I like that you ooze respect.
Yeah, I ooze respect. I don't give it. I ooze it when it's earned.
You sweat it. I sweat respect.
Right now, apparently, there's some cool things going on that I didn't know about.
Oh, this is
Animatrix. Okay.
This is 20 years old at this point. But, Freddie, what would you say is your favorite anime?
Oh, favorite anime. I'm going to go kind of weird here. And you're
Love Hina?
Although you and I both have a strong,
we've
deep,
seen the Love Hina.
Deep relationship with Love Hina that is...
I like the two bros from India.
What
is this shit?
What is this bullshit?
It's about Three's Company. Where did you get my Three's Company back?
Welcome back, Connor.
Dudes and chicks.
I'm just going to drink my beer while you guys talk about this.
Dudes, chicks. This is what I watch television for men. USA Network.
There was a I'm gonna really sound like a pretentious asshole here.
Oh, maybe you don't want to. Maybe but, you shouldn't.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and say that.
I'm trying to help you. I'm
fingers
trying to help
on
you
on
here.
The lips, like.
If you're gonna regret saying this, don't.
No, no,
say
I'm not gonna.
It.
I will not regret having good taste. Excuse me. There's an anime called Kino no Tabe, which is Kino's journey. Yes. I think is what it translates as. And it's kind of a. Every episode's sort of a standalone serial thing. It's about a girl in a talking motorcycle going around to different places.
You had me at girl.
Really quickly, wasn't there a pilot by the guy who did Community with Owen Wilson that had a talking motorcycle?
Gosh, what was the name of that?
Heat, Lightning, and Jack or
Lightning
something?
Lightning and Jack. Heat, Vision, and Jack. Heat, Vision, and Jack.
Maybe based on the
Dan
same
Harmon.
Anime. Nothing. There's no such thing as original idea.
Owen Wilson voices the talking motorcycle.
Really
I thought funny
that
show.
Was a
as one pilot, one episode. It's really great.
I thought that was like a Jack Black online thing. What am I mixing
it
that
is
up
online
with?
Because it never got picked up, so you've only seen it on YouTube.
Oh.
Or Channel 101.
Hmm.
So it's sort of like a anthology show. It's different little bits and it's like different areas. And it's all kind of sci-fi themes, futuristic theme. It's like there's the first episode's a great episode. It's about the society invents a device that allows everybody to hear each other's thoughts. And then all the side effects of that, which is, again, really really good, interesting, well-made, interesting art, well-written. It's based off of it's not based off like a manga, which like most animes are, you know, cartoons or comics, but it's actually based off of sort of series of short novels. So if you're looking for a slightly more, I would assume it's a slightly more obscure one. It's actually a really well-done show. So that one's on my list. The thing about anime is I get tweeted all the time that I just got this because I asked the cosplay question on Twitter. Everybody says that I should go as this guy named Kota Hirano, who is like a character on this anime called High School of the Dead, which is like a zombie thing meets high school. And I'll show you guys this first before I turn to the cameras.
Oh, wow.
But it's a kind of chubby Asian dude
Incredible.
With square glasses.
Hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and
pretty
that's,
solid there.
That's upright. Good call. Yep. Good call, guys.
I should go to this camera here. Guys.
I think that camera's dead.
Camera 3 is dead.
Use your Google Glass, I'm gonna show you a picture, then tweet it.
That's good call.
Go,
that's
go
good
in
call.
Right there, Freddie. Camera 1.
Camera 1.
That's a camera one.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh.
Yeah. So that dude, so he's like a gun obsessed character in this show, High School of the Dead. And he like builds all these weapons and stuff, and it's like everyone's like, you're basically this guy. So
are you gonna do it?
I've never seen this show. I feel like obligated to see this show.
There you
now.
Go.
You should use Twitter.
Like
to
Logan,
see
let me
the
ask
show.
You. Let me ask you something though, Logan. If someone contacted you and they're like, dude, Logan, you look like. Someone contacted you and said, Logan, you look exactly like blank. This character from.
I get that actually. I get
Ron
that
Perlman.
No.
Have
bon
you heard
Jovi.
That? Bon Jovi.
I literally have mom sing to me Bon Jovi songs.
Yeah, definitely. I
so
see that.
I know what it's like to look like something else.
Ron Perlman.
I get that one too.
I think have a Perlman look.
You
yeah, it's
will
pretty
look like Ron Perlman in about 20 years.
Dude, which is pretty awesome. That's something to look forward to.
I'm happy to look like Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
I'm also okay looking like Bon Jovi. I'm okay.
Real quick,
that's
real a handsome quick, man. Just a reference here. I'm going to go to this
He's
camera.
He's a handsome man.
Logan, just have a look here. Scoot over a little bit so that this camera can see you, and we'll just show the viewers at home. That's a Logan.
There's
That's a Logan, too, and eyeballs and a face.
Logan!
There's Mr. Jovi.
Oh, wait, did you move the phone? Because I couldn't tell.
Dude.
Yeah, a little bit.
Look like Jovi.
A little bit.
Whoa!
No, but literally, like, I'll just walk past. Brit. If you're a woman and you're over 35.
Have you used it? Have you used it?
What do you mean?
Have you used your Jovi?
Taken advantage.
Yes.
Taken advantage
of one of these
of
mothers.
Looks.
No.
Have you
no.
gotten in there?
No, but I've definitely like
Milf,
dude,
bro.
Literally the Milf. Other week Milf. I was at a theater and I was like shuffling past a woman. She's like, "Do you ever you look like Bon Jovi?" Like literally shouting it at me as I walk past. I'm like, "Really, Jesus? Like, is it really that big of a deal?"
Like, no, I like that no one actually confuses you for him though.
No,
they're
he
just kind of looks like
Bon Jovi.
You know what you should do?
You're not as handsome, but kind of maybe.
Logan,
kind of maybe.
You know what you should do? You know what you should do, Logan?
Clearly a crazed woman.
Clearly.
You know what you should do?
What should I do, Freddie?
Next time somebody says you look like Bon Jovi, okay, you kind of shake your head like, yeah, I know, right? And then start, then just launch into a rendition of a non-Bon Jovi song, but act as if it, like, yeah,
Bohemian
like Bon Jovi,
Rhapsody.
You know? Like, you know.
That strikes me as an advanced level of Bon Jovi.
Like,
I think step
just straight up just Journey, like, don't stop. You just start singing Journey songs, and they'd be like, no. And just see how they react. Like, Bon Jovi's not a part of... that's
you know before
that's
you
journey.
Can run you gotta walk. So I probably start with like maybe an acapella version of Living on a Prayer.
No, you can't do that. No, the point. No. The point is you gotta troll these people back. You can't just launch into a song.
Did I tell you?
Yeah, you're giving them what they want.
You gotta give
that.
Them. You gotta make them feel like really awkward about associating with Bon Jovi. Because then the question is like, should I
make
should
them
I,
pay for talking
exactly.
to you?
Like, the question should be, should I say something? Like that's he clearly doesn't. And just start going through it. Just like one class. Like he's clearly confusing Bon Jovi for so, like for Journey. That's not the same. Should I say something?
I think I may have told some of you this, but one time I was working with a bunch of folks and they started actually speaking to me only in Bon Jovi lyrics. Did I tell you about this?
Nice. What?
Like they literally like they'd be like, you know, I was like, so what's the progress on this? We'd be like,
well, I don't know. We're living on a prayer.
We're halfway there. Yeah. And it took me about 6 days to realize they were doing this.
That's great.
No way. Six days to get the joke.
Had the best week ever. That was like the.
That was the greatest week of their lives.
I can't imagine a better week than one where I'm making jokes on one.
Landed a couple jokes this week. It's pretty good one.
Couple zingers at work, guys.
Got him.
What did you do? Logan has now entangled his hands on the... Wow, Logan, you're like a feral cat. Like, we can't put you anywhere, man.
Just like a feral cat.
I was going to quote more Bon Jovi lyrics, but I unfortunately...
I don't have any feral cat songs.
Fortunately, don't know any.
So I want to segue to the anime thing. I hope we can go to Anime Con together, Freddy. I would love to okay glass Anime Con with you.
Dude.
I went to an anime convention. Have any of you guys been to an anime convention?
No.
I've been to WonderCon.
That's like an anime convention.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You know, I've been to other conventions with people in anime cosplay.
No, but the thing is, like, different conventions have different thresholds of, like, people doing things that other people should have said something about but didn't.
Okay. Example.
And example is like, you know what? I'm gonna wear a green mohawk and a bikini. And, like, you know, my mom would be like, Logan, get out of that. And these people didn't have a mom who said that.
And
like,
people don't have Logan's mom.
Yeah, and so they're like, I'm gonna wear this singlet and a fedora. And you're like, oh, shit, dude, what are you doing? And, like, anime con just is packed with, like,
there's
the, like,
so many.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear blank plus blank. It doesn't match. Like, plus another thing that's,
you know,
too,
like,
revealing.
Like you know, it's a problem.
That's anime.
It's
con.
A problem when it's like they probably have like film noir cons, and like the amount of fedoras worn at an anime con per capita is like 8 times that of ones worn at like a film noir con or something.
Why fedoras?
It's just, there's something. What is it that's, about the fedora?
I
as
blame
a hat?
Actually. I think we there was a certain point where that was just kind of like the nerd hat of choice for whatever reason. Like it replaced the backwards beret of the 90s. Like a Samuel Jackson sort
yeah,
of
the backwards the Kangol.
The Kangol,
right?
Is that
exactly.
The
yeah, yeah,
and then I think what really kind of popped it up, I'd actually argue that more so than AnimeCon, GDC, the Game Developers Conference, thanks to Notch. Notch the inventor.
What? No.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, they literally
they had
this people, was the first year where GDC sold a licensed fedora. The fuck, dude!
Like, dude, are you telling me? You're telling me that
such thing as a licensed fedora?
It was like fedora with the Game Developers Conference.
Oh, for no,
logo
dude! You're telling
it.
Me that the fedora thing happened?
That's heartbreaking.
Well, happened with Notch? No, that was around way prior to
no,
Minecraft.
No, but Notch kicked it to the next level.
Nah,
I'm sure there are plenty
that.
Of people who wore one sparkly glove while performing, and then Jackson came on, boosh, like bam! Wow, what? Look at that. Anyways, AnimeCon. Can't wait to follow up with us after we've done AnimeCon. But Benji, as a man who doesn't like anime, I'm kind of curious. What's your favorite un-American thing?
Wait, what?
As a man who's a true blue,
wait, what?
Died,
true blue-blooded patriot.
True blue, died in the wool, blue-blooded
like,
patriot.
That doesn't, like, that's a, what?
What is,
why would I love anything that's not American?
No, no,
like,
no.
I don't think,
well, you clearly
there is
don't,
no answer.
But there is something
is there
that you like, that you hate the least. Maybe that's the way to put it. What's the thing you hate the least that's not American?
Teriyaki chicken.
German pancakes.
German pancakes?
I like how Benji gave a look of like, did I,
did I win? Does that mean I get any?
Is this like family values or like top 10 things?
Yeah,
the only,
thing I can
it's
think
only
of,
food items,
yeah,
right?
The only thing I can think of is food. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that's not from America that I actually really appreciate that isn't food. I guess if we're talking, maybe like a good look, I don't know.
What about soccer?
Soccer? No, no respect for soccer.
What about rocket? You like rockets? Those are like from
okay,
Germany.
Okay, yeah. Boom. Spaceships and rockets.
That's pretty cool. What
yeah,
about,
dig that
what about
stuff.
English? That's not American.
The King's English?
No,
that's
just English.
We've taken it. It's ours now.
Oh, yeah?
Actually,
that's how that works. When you shoot people and you say it's yours, you know, possession is...
Actually, in case you didn't know this, the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois is the only in the country where American is the state language.
That's awesome.
No way.
American.
American is the state language.
Not
I believe
Illinois.
It's apostrophe American.
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
America is the language they
so
speak in the
state
of Illinois.
So that's at the top of the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yep,
first thing you
them.
See, American. Second thing, aardvark.
Yep.
It
yep.
just goes downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy!
I mean,
what about Hi-Li? You like Hi-Li?
What is that?
It is a sport
means.
Played with
giant
scoops.
Oh, those yeah, those things are scary.
Like that Mad Men episode.
By virtue of being scary, he doesn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
What about wrestling? Isn't that from
you
Greeks?
Know what? You know what? Godzilla. Big fan of Godzilla.
Who's your favorite Godzilla?
My favorite Godzilla is Godzilla versus the Sea Monster.
Who's the Sea Monster?
It's this big giant crab. Just a monstrous crab.
Was
used
it
to
dude,
watch
it,
that
was
all
it a
the
dude
time.
In a suit? Like a dude was in a crab suit all walking all
yep.
fours?
Yeah,
yep,
that's
like
pretty much the old Honda Toho.
So
films.
Who thinks Pacific Rim should just star giant people in suits and they should have spent $15 million on that?
That would
have
been great.
That would have been an interesting way to spend $15 million.
He could have built a really badass city.
Like, Andy Serkis.
You're all excited about it, right?
From like, seeing the trailer, I prefer the version that they went with.
I actually hate that it's CGI. I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
You have, okay.
I'm not
well,
a
we
fan
were, you know
of
what?
CGI, so I want to hear what you
and
do
we were,
kind
and,
of appreciate
and you know what?
This.
We were talking a little bit about this with the new Superman movie and everything, where it's just like, at a certain point, how cool is it to watch a bunch of pixels punch each other?
That's the thing, is you watch that Superman movie, you're like, well, that's just a bunch of people punching each other through fake buildings. And you're like, this is a video game cutscene. And like, it's cool
not
shots
not to say
and
that
stuff.
There aren't Oscar-winning video game cutscenes out there, Logan.
To be fair, there's some really cool cutscenes.
Final Fantasy VII, did you cry?
No, I actually abhor that game, and that is a totally different conversation. But like Superman was like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
But dude, how cool would it be to see a dude in a tin can suit just like running around a miniature smacking things over?
You're not thinking about this right. This is $15 million of a suit. Like, what kind of crazy...
$15 million for everything. So that means we built an acre of downtown. Like, we built downtown. We in scale form. We maybe even have miniature cars zooming down the streets, right? Because $15 million.
Sure.
And you're right. Each one of these suits is, like, awesome. Like, awesome suits. You got some slow-mo into that. You got something that's epic. Truly epic.
They made, like 36 Godzilla films, though, with miniature set or bigature sets and guys in suits.
Yeah, but those weren't the guys from the raid. Like, take the guys from the raid.
Gareth
put them
Evans,
in some suits.
The Gareth Evans version of Godzilla, which he's actually doing, which.
Okay.
Great idea.
And
right?
We're not talking like $500,000. We're talking $15 million.
Like, I want people to struggle to figure out how to spend this money. They're like,
I could
already...
spend that money so hard.
Isn't that a thought experiment where like a guy has to, like, what was, is it Richard Pryor
Brewster's
movie?
Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, that's right.
What a movie.
What did he have? He has 24 hours or 48 hours.
No, he has a month. He has a month to spend his uncle's inheritance. He has a month to spend $30 million, and then if he does it, he'll get his uncle's full inheritance, but he can't have any, like, assets after doing it. So, like, he buys the most expensive stamp in the world and mails it. Like, things like that. It's great.
Logan, what would you do?
So easy.
What would you do when tasked with the Herculean conundrum presented in Brewster's Millions?
I pursue... Here's
he brings in the Yankees to play his team, the Hackensack Bulls.
I think
great
the big
idea.
Thing... The challenge is, let's spend $30 million but end up with nothing afterwards, right?
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Basically, you are still at net worth
zero.
Zero, yeah.
The clothes on your back.
So, I was assuming
But you can't, like, gift it. He couldn't, like, just gift
you
it
have
to people.
Buy stuff.
Yeah.
And not own assets at the end of the month.
I think it really comes down to performance art.
So basically, okay. So just to clarify, after 30 days, you may not own any assets that are not already yours, and you must get value for the services of anyone he hires. You may only donate 5% to charity and lose 5% by gambling, and you're not allowed to tell anyone. So you can't tell anyone you're trying to spend 30.
Right.
You can't just go out on, for example, you can't just go out on the news and say, hey, I have $30 million. I have to spend 30 days. The next 30 people who call my number will get $1 million from
me. No, that's lame. That's super lame.
Nope.
No, absolutely not.
Nope.
I think I would pay... I would do performance art, so that means paying, like, I don't know, 300,000 people to all scream at one person. If I could get 300,000 people...
I would not expect this. No, stop.
Yes. You've thought of this.
Hold on. We're going to take a quick break here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to come right back. When we get back, we're going to see exactly how Logan intends to spend $30 million in the course of 1 month.
Hey guys, it's Benji from RocketJump.com, and right now you are checking out the Face Rocker podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, or you check back the website, RocketJump.com, every Monday for more of the podcast. Also, you can subscribe or check back every other Wednesday on RocketJump.com to check out To the Future with Logan Olson and Ben Geely. Now, another thing to pay attention to is extremely soon we're going to be dropping the VGHS podcast. We're going to have in-depth interviews with cast and crew and pretty much anyone that had anything to do with the creation of Season 2 of VGHS. So make sure you check out the website and iTunes for that coming up rather shortly. Until then, back to the podcast.
All right, we're back.
So where we are, Logan, trying to spend $30 million in 30 days according to the rules of Brewster's Millions. How are you going to do it, Logan? First of all, wait, hold on. So the first just performance art, we had, 100,000 people yelling at one man?
Yes.
Do you have it? Do you have this person picked out? Is there someone in particular you want to be yelled
and
at?
What are they being yelled at?
No. I think so there's many ways we can go about doing this. the one off the top of my head. Granted, with this sort of money to spend, we should at least $100,000 on R&D. Honestly, if you were to give me a project plan, like you're like $30 million to spend, how do we do this? I'd do a blue sky stage for about $100,000 in which we brainstorm, and then we'd, you know, assess the feasibility as well as spec out the scope schedule.
This would have been a much lamer movie.
And then we'd execute. But if you're like, Logan, go now!
Which we are.
I would first rent out the entirety of... What's the area with all the screens in New York?
Times Square. You gotta be kidding me.
You gotta rent Times Square.
I'd rent Times Square, but I wouldn't tell anybody. So everybody can still walk in it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would
that's how magnanimous of you.
Yeah.
And so,
very polite. To allow the people of New York and the associate tourists to walk in your now rented space.
I'd rent out for a week. But over the course of that week, I'd install probably 2,000 of those inflatable sock puppet creatures that whip around.
Flailing arm guys?
Flailing arm creatures.
2,000 of them.
But I'd make them so they're blended into the environment so you don't know they're there, so we can fire them off at any period, right?
Right.
And then I would install a red circle in the center with a stay out. Stay out at all. Who enters this circle shall die. Right?
Mm-hmm. How is... Is it a sign? Is it the person?
There'd be signs. Maybe there'd be neon because fuck it, I got money to spend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Might as well get the neon. Might as well splurge.
I would do a what's that movie with Eddie Murphy where he doesn't know he's in a movie being made by Steve Martin?
Bowfinger.
I do a Bowfinger esque stunt where a man's like, I can get in this circle, and when he gets in, he goes, and he melts. He like just melts in the circle. He's like, that who goes next be awesome, as he melts into the ground and explodes in a burst of fire. And the next person who goes in that circle, everyone in Times Square has actually been hired, including everybody in a car and the two helicopters that are overhead. Okay. And everybody is screaming as it comes
down. Slow down.
The moment you enter that circle, everyone's screaming. Like, everybody just turns to you and they just scream in the shrillest voice as all the sock puppets from Used Cars Lost explode out of postal.
Who's this poor sap that has to give his life, though, for this to happen?
No, it's just an actor. Melter. It's just an actor.
Oh, okay.
But the second guy is...
But he is dressed like Mr. Moneybags from Monopoly. So you think he's quite the well-to-do man.
This is very interesting, and I would love to be paid to be one of those people down there to witness this. Two problems, however. You will own all of that shit that you purchased at the end of the 30 days.
Not if it explodes at the end.
Touche.
Yes.
Touche.
Yes.
Touche. If it does explode, I still feel like you've got at least another $20, $25 million to spend at the end of this experiment. That doesn't sound that expensive.
I'm paying each of these people $30 to scream for an hour straight.
How many people did you want?
100,000.
You can't fit 100,000 people into Times Square, can you?
I can fit them into this New York City.
I don't know. Ask Dick Clark. Can't ask him. Forgot.
Downer.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, Dick.
Downer.
Sorry. I was wrong. You can, in fact...
How many goes in there?
Fill Times Square of up to like 100,000 people, according to some of these articles I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
And to be fair, I spent a bunch of money on the helicopters, the explosives.
And also, I should note that the article right underneath that, karate expert, to break 100,000 boards in Times Square in 24 hours.
Did he do it?
May 2nd.
He'd be there too.
Oh, May 2nd.
He'd be there too. He'd just be breaking boards.
Yes. Yes.
Hiya.
Well, let's say that this didn't work out.
Right.
I think there's other things we could do with $30 million easy. Just right off the bat, let's build another version of the set of Waterworld.
The problem, again, but then what do you do with it?
As it slowly sinks, there's gladiatorial combat.
Yeah, and you can't sell the water. It or gift it.
On the water.
It's there.
International waters where gladiatorial combat's allowed.
But you still own it.
Yeah.
Like, legally, at least in the movie's rules, that asset is yours, whether it's sitting in the bottom of the ocean or not.
Whoever wins the gladiatorial combat wins the city.
You too can have this.
Okay, now we're on to something. Gladiatorial combat.
Prizes. That might work.
Gladiatorial combat
on a loophole.
On a constantly sinking Waterworld city state.
I feel like Logan has the unique talent of destroying any 80s movie premise within the first 20 seconds or so.
We can have Bernie's is airtight, though.
Airtight.
Oh, no.
McCarthy.
So I think Logan would have gotten the Brewster's Millions, no problem.
Yeah.
I think so too.
No, I can spend as many, however many millions.
I would have
somebody
to still
to
get the repeater though. You'd still have to hire Rick Moranis to be your repeater. It'd be impossible.
What's a repeater?
In Brewster's Millions, he hires Rick Moranis to be his repeater. All he does is he just follows him around and repeats everything he says. That's all he does.
I have no need for that.
Exactly.
So Logan's loud enough that's on his own, yeah. Benji.
Yeah, but why not have a Rick Moranis running around repeating you?
Is Rick Moranis, he's the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Babies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the title.
Yep. Honey, our babies.
Oh, I keep shrinking all these different babies.
We better make some more.
So, that's not what Rick Moranis sounds like at all.
Can we talk about Edward Snowden a little bit?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
So how do you guys feel about that guy? Who is he?
Well, you can, according to what everyone on television says, you can only have one of two opinions. He is a patriot, or he is a traitor and should be hung. Where do you fall?
Do you feel it's one of those two?
No, I don't.
What do you think he is?
I am not surprised by his information.
That's what blew my mind, to be honest. How many people were surprised by that?
I'm not surprised.
I can't believe it. It's like, hold on, let's back up for a second.
No, let's back up even further for a second.
Okay.
For those people who don't know who Edward Snowden is, Freddie, maybe you could give us a little
Edward Snowden was a NSA contractor who... Do I really got to explain this? This is like, people should know this.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. If you don't know this, like, shame on you, but explain
it. So he's an NSA contractor. He released a lot of... He leaked a lot of information about the United States spying protocols and what the NSA is doing here and abroad, and it's causing quite a kerfluffle. Well, here's something that's crazy. So he got the F out of here, went to Hong Kong because he thought that the extradition over there would be helpful to him. He then flew from Hong Kong to Moscow, where he supposedly is now. But
he is living in the Moscow airport.
He's in the it's like the terminal. He's Tom Hanks.
Now here's two things really interesting about that. Number one, the rumors that he's trying to make his way to Bolivia because Bolivia has a very will not extradite him. Mm-hmm. So just yesterday, the Bolivian president's plane was flying and got rerouted. Try to fly over Italy? Nope. France? Nope. Had to land emergency landing in Vienna. And the Bolivian president's like, what the hell? And they're like, well, we thought that he was on the plane and we wanted to, oh, he's not on the plane? And they're like, are you kidding? Like,
they forced the president's plane to land and searched his plane. Like, wow. And now they're like, that's like an act of war pretty much. Like,
could
you
imagine,
can't do that.
Like, just real quick, could you imagine if Air Force One was just flying and they're like, nope, you can't fly over here? Which I actually, a little tidbit I learned. In the event that the United States happens to make a lot of enemies as Air Force One is flying around, Air Force One actually flies with a refueling plane so that they don't have to touch down if they don't have to, which is pretty baller if you think about it.
Yeah,
it's like driving an RV and just having a truck full of gasoline that you can dump into the RV tank on your road trips, which I don't know if anyone's actually ever done.
You know, the sad thing is, though, they're charging him with espionage, which... doesn't that carry a sentence of death or something?
Well,
equally as awful.
They're going after him with they're trying to say he's a spy. So it's the espionage.
And then here's the big one:
but
like, who's he spying for? The American people.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a law that was created during World War One, and it's 2013. So it doesn't fit what's happening right now in this situation. So it's very...
Anyways, so interesting. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And the other thing that's really interesting about it is that I was listening to a lawyer, like an international law lawyer, who was talking about, here's what you would do in this scenario. And he described all the countries that you would hop through. It's like you would go from Moscow to Havana, and then from Havana, the closest direct flight to Bolivia that didn't fly over this. Yeah, it's like, it was like, whoa, it's like they've mapped this out. Like, if you got to get out, it's a very specific path that you follow. I don't know. I think the way so to go back a little bit, what really blows my mind is, so he reveals this stuff, and everybody is not everybody. There's a big overall public reaction to, oh my gosh, they're doing this. I can't believe this. And there's a lot of it's a big kerfuffle about it. To me, it was just like, okay, wait, just back up in your mind to a time before he revealed this. It's 9/11 just happened. It happened a few years ago. Do you think that the government is reading or listening or watching communications from anywhere it can? Yes or no? Yeah. Are these people answering no? Like, did they really think that this is not happening? And what's crazy is like, so, it's, and this is not something that's crazy and like, oh my gosh, unprecedented. And if you've ever played the classic Deus Ex, they talk about Echelon, which is basically it's Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK, and the US. It's a large-scale communications monitoring program that's been doing this for years. Like, they've started this, apparently, yes, started in the early 1960s during the Cold War. It's like, this stuff is happening. Which to me, what it comes down to is basically this, which is you can't trust, I don't think, authority figures to not look at your shit. It's going to happen. Yeah. If they have the ability to do so, they'll do whatever it takes to do it, because it's a matter of having that power to do so in the first place. So if anything, I think that what he's doing is interesting, because it causes people to understand, oh, I should... If I really do believe that this is a problem, I can't trust legislation to protect me. I should just encrypt my crap if I really care about it. And if you don't really care about it, then don't encrypt your crap. But if you do care about it and you think that this is important, you should be taking the steps to make sure your communications are secure and not hoping that your legislative bodies will be nice enough not to look at what you're doing.
The loophole that they're using from the Patriot Act is the one that allows them to listen in on all communications that they believe pertain to a terrorist activity.
Now, and
so they're claiming that, well, we assume you guys are all possible terrorists discussing possible terrorist acts, which is...
Well, and here's the thing that I think everyone should do. Everyone should just find the list. There's a list online of like all the keywords that got leaked of like NSA keyword.
Everyone should use them.
Use them nonstop.
Everyone should use
Everybody
all of them.
Uses all of them.
Just
every
flood
communication.
The system.
Just flood it at this point. Like, just
well, that's
screw
the thing.
It.
They wouldn't be able to cipher through all of that material.
And
I think they would.
Yeah.
They probably could.
Yes,
they probably could.
They
but
can do anything.
I guess here's my point.
They can kill presidents. They can do anything.
We can get to conspiracy theories.
You just got flagged.
Yeah.
We just got
dude,
flagged.
I've been flagged. I don't care. Snowden, keep it
so,
up, player.
So if
keep
anything,
pimping.
So if anything, what's interesting is number one, how now the NSA as an agency is now a well-known agency. You know, so before it kind of just sort of fluttered along, and it was like, oh yeah, the guys who do encryption. Is, I don't think it's a pop
I'd
culture.
I'd actually argue like the CIA was the lightning rod for conspiracy.
It was. It was.
Right?
And now
it's the NSA. The NSA has. Yeah. I argue. I bet all the NSA guys are like, sweet. Like, we're finally recognized for being the badasses we are. Like. Right. We can finally have our like born supremacy moment. Like
so, and you know, and there's been some interesting articles about where it's like, look, it blows my mind that people did not expect that to be happening already.
Yeah.
So the sort of righteous thing the nation came from, it's probably healthy because you know at the end of the day, it's like it'll get people thinking about it. It is something that you should think about, and for the most part, you know, it's like to be honest. Actually, here's what it is. So This American Life did a great. A little mini interview with people who know for a fact that they are being monitored, everything they do being monitored. Mm-hmm. And those people are the lawyers of people in Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. So gotcha. They know that everything's being monitored. They just know this because I get weird. Ever since I started doing this,
but now
I get weird things.
We should all know we're all being monitored.
Well, okay, but so on one hand, those people are definitely a higher priority than your average Joe Schmo who in the middle of the country.
Right, you're correct. There is some
and so there's a difference between
there's priority
right,
there.
Right, so, and there's monitoring, and then there's sort of passive monitoring, which is just. Which is, I think, frankly, realistically, what they're doing is just raw data gathering.
I don't know if I would call it passive. The fact
that
they are.
Let me clarify. Okay. When I say passive monitoring, I mean nobody is sitting there being like, "All right, I'm going to actively review every week everything that came from Dez's phone." It's just
computer systems and algorithms who sit there.
And they gather the metadata of your calls again, right. which is the kind of thing that you should be expecting is happening. So. But my point is, these people know that they are actively being listened in on for sure. Like, not just like a computer's gathering that they're talking to. It's like, no, I'm having a client conversation right now, and I know that this phone that I'm talking to a client is listened to. I know my cell phone is getting tapped. So what they described was really interesting, and which is something to think about, which is like, well, you know, because it's always the bylines, like, well, if you have nothing to hide, what are you worried about? So what they said, which is a really interesting thing, is that when they knew that there was a third party listening in on their conversation, regardless of whether or not that person, you know, whether or not they had a, you know, right to or whatever, they just know that there's a set of ears belonging to another human being on the other side of this that's not participating in this conversation, they felt and they changed everything that they did when they were talking. So he was to the point where the guy's like, I would just kind of not say things like I love you to my wife because it just felt awkward knowing that someone else is here. That's like, do they need to know this? Do I need to talk about this? And the guy said, well, my friends point out that when I'm on the phone, I talk very differently than I do in person. So it has this weird psychological pressure effect knowing that there's just someone listening. Whether or not, you know, it's like, hey, I have nothing to hide. Even if you have nothing to hide.
I hate that I have nothing to hide. It's such garbage. It's just, it's like going to the bathroom. It does. I'm not doing anything wrong, but still, I don't want you being there. It's the same thing. Like, if I'm going to take a dump, I don't care. Like, you just shouldn't be in on that.
Wait, hold
like,
on,
it's
on.
Nothing crazy.
I feel like this is the blue-collar argument.
Yeah, dude, this is the blue, it's the same thing. It's like, I ain't doing anything illegal. I ain't got nothing to hide, but still, I don't want you there.
I think you
like,
should you go talk to Congress with
like,
this.
Seriously,
this could be this could be the Mr. Smith
seriously,
goes to Washington
seriously,
moment
the
here.
Mr. Smith dump argument. I ain't doing anything wrong. I'm not planning on doing anything wrong, but shit, I don't want you here right now. There's no reason for you to be here.
Benji, just the way you're talking right now, I think you're doing something wrong every time you go to the bathroom.
Can I ask you, when you're in the bathroom, and it's a, hold on, just real quick, this is like a deep-seated psychological thing. I think for most people, if you ever walk into a bathroom as a two-staller, like a two-stall situation, and you just set up on one, it's usually the farther one, probably the disabled one because it's more
spacious. I
actually
choose the first one because that's the one that's least
used. It's always the cleanest one. Yeah,
interesting. Reverse bathroom toilet psychology. Mm-hmm. Do you, like, as soon as, like, if you go and you're, like, you settle in, and then, like, immediately, if someone else comes in, do you just kind of be like, pinch it up, suck it back in?
I pinch it up, and I wait till they leave.
Turtle head right back in
there. Get out of here.
Get on that Reddit.
I'm working. Get out of here. It may be uncomfortable, but I'll wait. Sometimes I spend hours in a public bathroom just waiting for the train of people to get out. I'm busy.
Have you really spent hours in a bathroom?
I probably have. Sadly.
I hope you have a few books
on that.
So you
sit there and you
I'll
wait for the guy.
I'll wait.
Now here's the problem though, because what if you one day run into you and the other person's waiting you out?
Oh gosh.
Like both of you are sitting there just clenched.
This is dangerous.
Just clenched. Prisoner's dilemma.
This high noon. This
high
is
noon toilet situation.
This is a short film here, by the way.
Yeah, this is tough. I don't know what
it's
I.
A battle
I mean,
of
it
wills.
Would be a battle of wills, yeah. And I would like to
you know
think
what's
I would
worse
win.
Though is the guy who doesn't care. You know when you walk in and there's the guy
the
there
loud
who just doesn't care.
Man.
Anyway, we're talking about bathrooms.
I think everybody's been in a place where they don't care.
Yeah,
I think everybody's been there.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
My favorite stand-up.
I guess I would say it's not that you don't care. It's the I can't afford to care right now.
Right precisely. Now, caring is not on my list of priorities. Right. Yes. Gentlemen, we cannot afford to care.
What you care about is not your personal image.
Yeah. Right.
The second thing I want to go into the Wayback Machine.
Just 1 second, real quick. Just a very funny quote
anime?
About bathrooms. Which is I forget the stamp comedian, but he says the worst thing about the only worst thing that cold toilet seat is a warm toilet seat.
It's true. Yeah.
It's true.
Fact. Wait, but what else is like does he just want really hot toilet seats? Is he arguing for really
no,
hot
room temperature? No, it's like, oh, that's too cold, but then when you get on a hot one, it's like, oh, I'm
butt
pretty much feeling that other guy's
too,
butt.
Too close to another butt.
Yeah, you're like on their butt.
So would you be
butt
opposed?
1 degree of separation.
Yeah.
So would you be opposed to if we changed toilet seats so they felt like butts?
I would be so opposed to butt seats. I'm so against butt seats.
Like, have you ever sat sorry, not to keep this on the toilet here, but have you ever sat on a cushioned toilet seat?
Yes. The ones that stick?
What
when
is,
you get up and it
is
rips?
Is there anything worse than the idea of taking a padded cloth, faux leather, foam cushioned toilet seat? Is there anything worse than that?
Yes, it would be a latex fake butt that you sit on. Like literally a mirror image of your butt.
God, you space dock into it. Forget it.
Space dock, now we're talking.
All right, moving on. God. Somehow we tried to avoid it. Sorry, everybody.
That's hyperspace back over to a different subject.
Wayback Machine, what did you want to weigh back?
I want to talk about...
Your boy. I think he's doing... Dude, the people that are pissed off are rich white people, so I'm with him. Go, Snowden.
Are we still talking about pooping in other butts right now?
No.
In a way,
about
Logan, we are.
Stuff. It's mostly rich white people that are upset about him, so I say keep going. I hate rich white people. They're terrible.
I mean, really quickly,
they've always
know.
Ruined the earth. Always.
Let's roll back a little bit, because I think there's an interesting thing that's come up repeatedly when we talk about Snowden. And by we repeatedly, I don't mean during this conversation, but multiple conversations.
In the discourse.
Is this idea of like, well, didn't you think that was already happening? Like, why is everybody so shocked now that it's been, you know, now it's come out?
That and doesn't excuse it.
Hold on. And that's happened a few times, and there's still a real outrage. And let me finish.
Okay, I'll leave it. I want to clarify my position, because you're making it sound much more stupid than it is, which is not that I'm like, I can't believe no one knows. It's that it's good that it took this in order to get it into that discourse.
I still want to flag something general.
Sure.
And it's the idea of a suspicion of something happening versus the validation of something
happening. That's completely fair.
And that is what's happening here. You know, like, there's many people who
thought this might be happening. That's very different than knowing.
No, I agree.
Right?
I 100% agree.
It's right up there
right.
with the I think my spouse is cheating on me versus I know my spouse. Like, that's a very serious step.
No, that's fair.
And so to be like, yeah, I mean, I think the Russians reached the moon first. I don't know it. Like, that's I'm not saying that's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you think. But that's not what I think. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. So Des thinks that the Russians landed first on the moon. But,
no,
like, whatever. I mean, I don't know.
For the record, I don't think that. You just made that up.
Well, wait, Des, you do think we did land on the moon, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did hand shoot first?
What?
What?
Where are you getting this? I'm not a conspiracy nut.
Did I tell you? I was when we were
yes.
in, do you remember
Han,
when we were in
Han, by the way, and yes, he did shoot first.
Han Solo.
Han Solo. Han Solo. Thank you, shot first.
when we were in Belize shooting that Far Cry video, we had the pleasure of hanging out with a guy who believed that the moon landings were completely faked.
Oh, that's right.
And it was
entirely fake.
Remarkably frustrating talking to him.
I mean, obviously, you've never seen the Fox special.
But he had multiple times.
With that
apparently.
Guy from Star Trek,
with the crisscrossing shadows.
Yeah, no. There's a Fox special. This was
one.
What this was
I
probably 2002, 2003, right?
I saw that thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel that is a like socially irresponsible thing to have been created to put like that level of sheer stupidity into the public? Like
they made some very compelling arguments, but what I really like is during phys ed that year in high school. The coach comes down and he's like, we're going to watch something today. It's really important.
No way.
Mind you, I was 15, so I was like, oh my God, it's time for Red
we
Asphalt.
We watched that in class, too.
Yeah. Wait, Red Asphalt?
I thought it was going to be Red Asphalt, like the
what
video of just like people like
people
wrecking
dying.
Cars to like scary
I've
straight.
I've never heard this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a very famous thing. And then,
really?
Yeah.
It's just
okay,
death.
Glass, Google Red Asphalt.
Yeah. Isn't it on the Google?
Google.
Yeah, they
red
just
ass.
Like if, just show a bunch of kids dying and driving cars, scare you before you get your license.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, no, and then he rolled out the, you know, the old 18-inch CRT,
yeah.
And then we watched...
We watched that in our high school, like, video editing class, so and our professor was like, oh, yeah, yep, uh-huh, yep, those are fake shadows, and I can see there's a key light, you know, off stage right there, yeah.
So I have a question for all the people still in grade school out there who listen to this, and that would be,
all three
do they
of them.
Still have, like, 18-inch, like, CRT televisions, or have they, like, moved on to, like, flat screens? Like,
yeah,
they're pretty darn cheap at this point.
No, like, no. You mean, like, TVs? That they
yeah,
have?
Like, is it still that, like...
You remember they
that,
roll
like,
in the cart?
The gurney cart?
Yeah, oh,
like the VHS?
Yeah.
There's nothing like seeing that cart roll
the VHS
in.
Was like...
Oh, that was a bomb. It's like, oh, what are we watching today?
Is the best.
Miracle of life. Here we go again.
Dude, that's... Harley. Harley would always talk about this. When he was a teacher, he would always put the cart in his room, and he'd just leave it there, so kids would come in thinking it was video day. And
he,
then he'd be
he
like,
did that
no.
a lot 2 weeks
right?
ago on here. He was talking
was
about
was that what he talked about it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I got it from. Hey, I listen.
Yeah, I'm glad that we have one listener
yeah,
who's on the
I
podcast
listen.
Today.
He's guaranteed.
There you go.
So let's talk about Egypt, the other big...
I like that where you're like, Snowden, whatever, that thing happened. Egypt.
Well, there it is. Egypt. They actually do something when they're upset. Good for them.
Yeah.
Way
they
to go,
do.
People.
They have a military coup.
They're really
yeah,
upset.
Yeah, way to go. We need some more military coups in this neck of the woods, huh?
I don't know. That wasn't really a coup.
Is that what you're implying?
I don't think that was really a coup.
I'm pretty sure they called it a military coup.
They
I'm
had a
sure
million
exactly
people protesting about it.
In addition to
make...
the military yeah. overthrowing the government.
Yeah, they needed a million people to overthrow.
Well, I guess here's... Okay, here's
we just make memes.
But
they should go outside
yeah,
and
yeah, we made a meme. We cracked a couple
but
jokes drinking Modelo's. We're like, yeah, you know.
But you're getting...
What did you expect?
They actually go do something. It's because their life isn't as good. They're I don't
you're
know.
Getting right to the,
they
no, no, you're
pyramids.
Getting right to the point of it, which is
yeah.
it's
their quality of life has gotten to a point where they have to go outside and do something. America, like, yeah, it's shitty, but we still can do whatever we want all day long.
It's like we still got
it's
this.
Not bad enough to the point where we have to go outside and complain. We can still go like order. We can go track a Domino's pizza. It doesn't matter. the world
so
is still fantastic.
The Domino's
to
pizza
us.
Tracker, the one threat
dude,
keeping
like,
American
care,
society
dude, like,
tied
I'm
together.
Yeah, I'm upset.
Like
dudes
the bread and wine, bread and circuses.
Bread and circuses.
Think about it.
Surely
guys.
Domino's
think
pizza is the bread and circuses of
I mean,
the American people.
Like, they can't track a pizza. They're pissed. They're gonna go complain. We can still track pizzas. What are we going to complain about? It's not bad enough yet here for anyone to really go outside and protest or be that upset. It
God
hasn't
forbid.
Reached that point.
Because like,
it's
like, that's true though. Because I think about it, right. It's like the Million Man March. You know, the
yeah.
big movements. Well, so it's interesting. There's a theory, a social theory, which you know I think has some degree of credibility and some degree of just flimflammery. But the idea that human society works in a sort of cyclical nature, you know. So the idea of like, okay, there's this period of, you know, of social upheaval and revolution, and then you get that because you revolutionize, and then you get tired of it. So sort of like, I think it's a sort of 40-year cycle of like human activity, and so the theory.
Well, history
goes,
does repeat itself. I mean, we're idiots. Humans are idiots. We're
I
dumb.
Want to flag something really quick, and it's that Freddie took off the Google glasses and switched back over to the laptop.
Well, because
like
laptop Google seems
laptop,
to be working
I think
a lot more effectively. Yeah.
Laptop beats Google Glass, I think, is what we're learning today. And so, what I predict the next Google Glass will just be a bib that's a laptop that just hangs around your neck. That you just type on with little T-Rex arms as you're hanging out.
And that laptop does have voice recognition, by the way, to bring that back around. And the keyboard, again, is more effective.
Yes.
So anyway, so it's a theory that goes around. But the idea is that, like, okay, so we are coming to a point where we're going to kind of come back to the social upheaval and movements that we saw in the 60s and then sort of have it all start over again. So maybe it'll be up to our generation to use the internet to stop
Bieber.
Things. Yeah.
Mm. Would you guys ever march? Is that something you would do?
I would.
I mean,
I
if,
would
things,
love to.
If things got that bad.
How bad would it get for you to march?
Well, I think it would begin with the downfall of the Domino's Pizza Tracker. That would be...
That would be
the
known
first
as,
stone cast.
It would be the Kristallnacht of
our
nice.
That was good.
Logan,
that
how
was
long
good.
Would it take for you to
I
get
had a broken
off
glass?
And
you know, I
actually
have...
physically protest something.
It's interesting. I feel like I do have my little like, you know what? I'm gonna make my stand on this. Like I definitely have those and right now, it's basically the body scanners at the airport. It's like my thing where I'm like, I'm going to fight the man on this one.
Yeah, that's... But at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about it.
I just get pat down.
Doesn't like that bother... But doesn't it bother you that...
I insist on the pat down every single
really
time.
It really bothers me that we live in a supposed democratic society and we can't just all be like, hey, just real quick, just show of hands. We all hate this, right? Yeah. 90% of us hate this shit. So can we just stop it? We all agree, right?
That's maybe a dangerous way
to
protect yourself.
Because you can't. No, I agree. Because you can't have. Because you can't have everybody. No, you can't. Because you can't have everybody voting as a majority on everything. Yeah. But I feel like there should be a certain like threshold where it's just like, guys, just real quick.
Not
just
even
airport scanners.
Not even the
sake.
President could change that, though. Remember, Obama. I don't know how effective he is. That's up for debate. But went to the TSA and said, we got to change all this stuff and think we got to get rid of some of these scanners. And they just said, no, actually, they sent a memo back. We don't have to respond to you. We're our own thing.
They did change the scanners once, and I don't quite know where it stands right now. But when we talk about protests, that is the one thing I actively do, like, day in day. Oh, and I'm actually doing another one. Actually, I'm giving up my Apple iPhone. I mentioned this maybe off air.
Yeah.
Gave up my Apple iPhone and my AT&T contract so I could switch to Google phones, not Google Glass, but a Google phone, and T-Mobile, which has no contract. So I'm going to pay more money, but I'm going to have no contract because I want to support that type of business model.
That's nice. So here's an interesting sort of thing about this, which is when moving in unison, people are unstoppable, right? Same with like voting, you know. But the problem is, how do you, in an age of instant gratification, communicate to any individual member that what they're doing has any effect? So the problem with voting a lot of times is just...
I think you just answered your own question. It's to instantly gratify them.
Right. So because the problem is, here's the thing. Let me take that to the next level, right? So voting, the biggest problem is there's really just a sheer incentive return on time invested. Just nothing. It's like, great, you spend this much time doing it. What do you get back? You get 1 millionth of a say. It's just not worth it.
It's shouting into the void.
Right. Yeah.
But we shout in the void in other ways, a.k.a. Twitter.
Yeah.
That's a shout in the void. Not for you. But for most people,
yeah, not for you, Freddie.
Not for you, Freddie. But for a lot of people, it's like, okay, 25 followers. Let me tell you how I feel about breakfast today. Like, it's the equivalent of like walking around the office, being like, so who, like, this water tastes funny, and then like shouting out, being like, does anybody want to respond to me? Like,
I'm now fielding responses. Yes, but what you get to is kind of what the core is, which is nobody would tweet if it took 6 hours a tweet. If you had to wait in line and drive out somewhere.
Tweet voting?
I'm proposing that in order for...
absentee tweet ballots?
In order for voting to really reach the point where I think it could get in human society, we have the informational networks to do this. It needs to be instantaneous and validated and easy. It needs to be such a low effort thing then things get crazy. Because now you start to think about, like, wait, we can have a full-on everyone-votes-on-shit type of democracy if you get to that point. Now, granted, it's obviously not practical for a lot of things. But again, I just think the TSA, I don't know why. It's like you have an apartment, right? You live with your roommates, right? And you go in and it's like, there's something in the fridge. It's stinking up the fridge. It's really bad. We all hate it? Yes, we all hate it. So what do we do? Can we all agree that we don't want it? We all agree to that. Okay, but it's just going to stay there. We just have to live with it.
I think it's very different. And it's if you had a... I'm not going to try to attempt to convert your analogy to the real situation. But essentially, a institution is the same as a company. And in both cases, the individual agents within that larger institution are motivated by their own individual wants and needs, right? And mm-hmm. So a government does not act for the pure benefit of the people, even though that's what we would want to believe.
Oh, well, ours doesn't.
The agents with that the agents that drive that are each operating on their own motivations. And arguably we can model the sort of the horde to a certain extent, but essentially each agent within a government is answering to a different sense of wants and needs. I think maybe the more cynical view of that is those wants and needs are not aligned with the governed. They're the wants and needs aligned with people who are maybe private companies or other things. And I'm not going to say that's the case or it isn't the case, but an example would be these body scanners. And there's many people who feel that the reason the body scanners exist is because the body scanner lobby has done a very good job. Rapiscan has done a very good job lobbying the members of the TSA. And that's why they're operating, not out of a concern for the safety of the flying public.
Right.
Right. And so that's not a, man, just nobody's motivated to do this. It's like, no, people are very motivated to keep this in place because other people have motivated them to do so for other reasons.
Yeah. Well, what it comes down to is it's just like, you may hate it, but at the end of the day, it's just a short inconvenience that you just let by, you know, because you're like, oh, well, fucking, I got a flu, but that's fine.
Yeah. I can't foresee myself devoting the next, like, you know, 2 weeks of my life to wrap a scan.
But if you worked for lobbies. That company and you're getting paid a healthy six-figure salary to do that, you may be inclined to do so.
Absolutely. That's what lobbying organizations
are. So what we need
about.
Is we need our tax dollars to go to freedom fighters, people who can spend a lot of time on our behalf. Some sort of elected representative of the people, perhaps.
Oh, what yeah. a brilliant
some sort
idea.
Of official,
like the opposite of lobbyists.
Some sort of official who could sit and represent the needs of many people, perhaps within a constituent voting district to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we solve.
Why hasn't anybody thought of that?
That's a great idea.
Real quick, by the way, people who are wondering about this weird 40-year cycle thing, it's called the Strauss-Howe generational theory. It's kind of pop psych.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like pseudoscience.
It's a little bit, but it's an interesting wiki read. Maybe get the audio book. Maybe just skim forward at 1.5 to 2 speed.
Speaking of pseudoscience, have any of you guys been in a sensory deprivation tank?
No, and no. I would love to do
sounds
it.
Sounds intense.
Yeah, right?
Have you done it?
No, where did you go?
Do you want to do a sensory deprivation tank?
Oh, yeah.
Do you just fill a tub with tap water and just go? Like, what do we do?
First of all, you have to book an appointment because they need to be the right salinity so that it ensures that you float at the correct. It's the same saltiness as your own body.
Whoa.
So that you float in it. So that you are suspended.
I don't want. No, I don't want.
I'm ready for
no,
my
that
journey.
That doesn't sound
dude.
Like any fun it's at all.
Journey.
That's like just. No, it's like you get to die
floating?
While you're alive. That's
you
not
like
fun.
Floating?
That's what a sensory deprivation tank
dude.
Sounds
it's like.
Like
getting rid of all your senses so
while
your brain
living.
Can truly
why would I
want to
die?
Unleashed.
No.
Incorrect. Here's what happens.
Yeah, that's you're like not, death.
Have you ever seen that movie Altered States? We can all become.
Benji, here's
no.
It's Benji.
Like
no.
That's the opposite of living. Living life is all five senses.
Wrong.
That's the opposite. Why
wrong.
Would I want to do that?
But wouldn't wrong. You sweeten those senses if you could deprive
wrong.
Yourself of them for a moment?
How would I ever want to deprive
how about,
myself
listen,
of my senses
to sweeten them?
Never.
Chew on this,
sweet
Benji.
As it gets.
Sensory deprivation tanks better than anime. Here we go. You ready?
Is that what it says
correlated.
On the Wikipedia?
Correlated.
I hope so.
Increased levels of cortisol. Flotation therapy is one of the few non-invasive techniques available to manage stress.
I believe it.
You get out of there, and you feel awesome. So.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Because you realize you're
hold
still
on.
Alive. I'd feel awesome if someone just took away all my senses
but
for an hour, and I realized I'm still alive. Of course
it
they
makes
feel
you,
awesome.
You
so do you not
want to
feel
it's
awesome?
It's a trick.
You don't want to feel awesome?
But no, you
I already
do.
Feel awesome.
You don't want to feel more awesome?
I'll go like for a jog.
I like the idea that
awesome.
Basically turns you into Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like you just become like a brain without senses.
Yeah no thanks. Screw that. No. You guys can have fun. I don't
people
want that.
In those
I'm
going to
keep my senses all the damn
what happens
time.
In those 23%
tanks? Sleep better. 31% experience reduced stress. 27% less agony. Less depressed. Or got rid of their depression altogether. I guess it doesn't matter because you sleep like a baby, are the most stress-free person I know, and are the opposite of depressed. So maybe that's not the right thing to do.
So maybe
you should start
do.
To book sessions with these people who are willing to throw themselves in the tanks for hours at a time
don't
and just hang
it.
Out with Benji.
Don't want it.
You
no
even
thanks.
Want that?
I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want my senses to go anywhere. I want them to all work all the time, always, forever.
I think sometimes you gotta take a second, though.
That's what
but
I
really like the idea that in like we should just go, instead of going to like the spa for like a back rub and stuff, we just go sensory deprive ourselves for a while.
I'm down.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's
no.
do it.
You
should go out into nature and experience more senses.
I will
you
do that.
Go for
after
a hike and
I,
smell some things
after
and feel
I
tired
slip.
And like sweat. That's what you should do. For that's how you should feel better.
After I slip out of my desensitized chamber, I will crawl into the woods.
I'm waiting until I croak till those things. I'm waiting till I croak till these things turn off.
We could do it. You got to book it at a place. I got
let's
this
do
place
it.
Yelping
let's,
it right
let's
now.
Let's deprive
get
ourselves.
Three,
dude,
get three
screw
tickets.
That. That's scary. Nope.
Benj, I'm gonna come back.
I'm not
gonna come back. Totally enlightened.
I'm scared to death to do that. I'm terrified
give
of that
in.
Idea.
Give
no,
in to it.
Never.
Have any of you guys meditated before?
Yes.
I like this is turning like we're going new
I
age
have.
With this shit.
And also,
dude, we are
I,
all over the place with this
the
podcast.
Most, I have the most.
You mean taking a nap? Yeah, I've taken a nap. Taking some good ones.
I have the most new wave story about this because after high school, I took a 30-day trip to India where
you met the Dalai Lama.
Where I met
right?
the Dalai Lama there.
Didn't he like give you a French kiss?
He gave me a spirited hug and then made fun of my friend for being short. Which is really funny.
Pretty awesome.
Because everybody was like lined up like, oh my gosh, the most
Lama.
Holiest of holy men. And he like saw my friend who was like, who's, you know, frankly quite short. And he,
if we're going to be honest, he is of
she,
diminutive
she is
stature.
Quite short. And he held his hand out and just laughed. He's like, so short. And we're like, man, Dalai Lama just punked you. So, because that's what we said back then. There was this place where it was like, it was a monastery. It was just part of the activity was to be like, all right, hey, let's try meditation, guys. So, it was 2 days, no talking. And it was, you know, wake up, go through the whole meditative thing. It was like, be a Buddhist monk for a bit. And so I remember doing that and chilling out and being like, man, I gotta go to the bathroom. This sort of diet of like all lentils and vegetables and vegetarian, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, I gotta quietly sneak out there. Everybody's sitting there like quietly and breathing. And some people I think are even asleep, but I quietly tiptoe out. I go to the bathroom, relieve myself. I'm like, oh, that's better. I'm ready to go back and reconnect with my inner tame the inner elephant that is my mind, et cetera, et cetera. I walk in, and the problem is on the way out, I walked on one side of a pillar and put my shoes on left. But Indian Himalayan engineering being what it is, on the way in, I decided to take the other side of this pillar by the door where there was a step that was raised up and I didn't see. So I just slam my foot into it and do the most cartoonish, like face plant, like full on face plant, full face into floor, not even like my hands to block it. And then everybody's like, what happened? I was like, I think I broke my nose. So I broke every, who knows? Someone may have been on the verge of nirvana and me face planting like a fool.
Were you wearing open-toed shoes?
No, I was wearing open-toed shoes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I just can't agree with the idea that taking away your senses can make you feel better at all. I just can't believe
that. Well, you know
that.
What? Don't knock it till you
that's
try it, man.
That's the opposite of living.
But that's, isn't
you
that all? But back
living
up,
is
but
experiencing.
Back up, but back up, dude.
Senses.
Because it's not, aren't, but hold on. It's not the
like
purpose.
That's life.
Of, but hold on. Counterpoint. It's not the purpose of nearly all drugs to affect or take away senses in some way, shape, or form to dull them, if you will. At least a certain
that's
wide
if you're
family.
Taking the wrong kind of drugs. If you're trying to dull them.
Very well.
I just firmly believe that it's
I'm just
it's
gonna
about the opposite.
Meditation is like, not about taking away your senses, FYI. That's
about hyper
deprivation certainly is.
Yeah,
but meditation is not that.
It's about hyper focusing. Mm-hmm. Your mind to a laser so that when
you
open your
it,
eyes
right,
it's just like Cyclops.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you feel about meditation?
I wish I had more time to do it more often because I feel pretty fantastic afterwards.
So it's just thinking real hard?
Yes, meditation, thinking real hard.
It's a lot of things. I mean, the the greatest benefit for me is just being able to relax and de-stress and tune out all of the noise from everything and everywhere.
Tylenol PM.
It's actually, I actually agree, it's pretty fantastic to meditate. Mm-hmm. And here's why, Benji. Is it, like, it's kind of one of those things that you assume you can do until you actually try it. But, like, if you actually...
It's like the hardest thing of all time.
It's actually incredibly difficult to just... If you try to close your eyes, and this is, like, the base minimum for meditation, is close your eyes.
Because I've never done, like, meditation. I've done, like, relaxation things, and it's, like... And I do understand that, like, you don't realize how tense your body is at all times until you really get into it. It's, like, the same thing, but for your mind is what you're saying?
If you just focus on your breathing and try to just count your breaths, and that's all you do.
Counting is too much. Focus solely on the area above your upper lip and the sensation of air.
I know, actually, that's more challenging, though. If you're just, like, just go one... Two and get up to 10 and don't think of anything else. That is actually very, you will about 5 or 6,
you'll realize how impossible that is.
You'll veer. Yeah. You'll be like, oh, like, what about like tomorrow? Or like, that was a funny goat dance I saw yesterday. And like, and then you're like, shit.
Where was I? Back to one.
So it's like a true reboot, is what you're saying. Like,
it's trying to just think about one thing for a long time, learning how to focus.
It's like a system defrag.
Yeah. Defrag.
Okay. So you're starting
to make it more manly sounding.
It's making it more techie for all
you. It's not meditation.
I get the meditation.
It's meditation.
I understand.
Meditation.
I respect this meditation.
Wait, hold on. Meditation. Self-help books. Series of self-help books. Logan Olson presents. Dr. Olson presents. Meditation. Meditation for the modern man. Here's what you do. You sit there and you focus on things like flexing every muscle in your body. You sit there and you just think about things like, what was the greatest football play? And you sort of go through in your head from every possible angle.
Reception.
Exactly. Every angle. Meditation. What do you think?
I think it's great. I don't think we could do it as a book. We might be able to do it as a scroll made out of deer skin.
What about like a PDF ebook?
I don't know. I don't think ebooks are manly enough.
That's a good point.
What about it's just a tattoo? You can only read it if you tattoo it onto your bicep.
You have to flex. Like, yeah. It's written like all like it's like those Mad Magazine things where you have to like put your eye right up to the page. It's like you have to hold it somewhere. I can't read that. It's so skinny and thin. It's like no, and you flex and then you can read it.
Maybe it's just a really tight shirt and only when you flex out of it that you and it falls to the ground that you can actually read it.
Dude.
Yeah.
This is the next Star Wars.
That's what that is.
So meditative, and like it's like so Eastern.
So Benji, you gonna try it?
I mean, I get the meditation. Okay, I respect meditation now. You guys have opened my eyes on that. I get that. That makes sense to me. I just don't. I don't think the whole sensory deprivation thing. I'm 100% against. That's a no.
All right. Well, 100. Benji, why don't you lead us on a little bit? Lead our listeners out on a guided meditation where we're gonna ask everybody, if you're not driving, probably sitting at home, if you can do this, close your eyes. Benji, get real close to that mic.
If you fail, okay. I'm gonna volunteer myself for the next guided meditation.
Oh, you may take over midway. So,
dude, Logan, okay. I mean, I don't know how exactly I was supposed to do this.
Okay, hold on, Logan, go for it. Logan,
like, school me here. Like,
okay, go.
Like,
okay. Close your eyes, Benji. And everybody out there who is listening, if you're not driving, please do this as well. Close your eyes, everybody.
I'm actually going to go serious with this one, everybody.
Yeah, no, like, there's bring not, the pain here.
This is not be a funny one.
Yeah, no, go legit. I want to do a legit thing.
This is going to be a legit one.
Yeah.
It's about 50-50 on this being legit, but.
No, this is going to be legit.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Again, if you're not walking or driving or running, if you are
sedentary,
find a comfortable seated position. Align your spine. I find it's actually very helpful if you imagine a string coming out of your head, like so. You're pulled straight up. That actually is the best way I find. Go ahead and close your eyes. You're really awake, and we're gonna go ahead and focus on our breathing. That's right. It's hard if you snicker, but you know meditation's a fun thing, so go ahead and snicker away. I don't fucking care. It's cool. And we're just going to breathe. You know, let's take one deep breath. Yeah. Let's do one more.
All the stress is out. Just whatever sound you naturally make, just go ahead and make it.
Yeah.
Now it's turning into a Man of War song.
It's a bit of the Spirit of Cherokee.
The Spirit of Cherokee. Yes.
Well, I feel great.
And we hope you do too. Join
Are
us.
We done?
Join us next time. We'll be back with our usual shenanigans. Follow us on Twitter. We are at Rocket Jump Tweet. Check out Facebook and our site, of course, rocketjump.com. For this and more guided experiences into the spirit realm, I'm Freddie.
I'm Logan, and I'm going to actually encourage you, if you want a guided meditation.
Are you selling them?
I would say raise it as a thing, because I will happily come in 10 minutes early or stay 10 minutes late and give Logan's personal guided meditation as a separate MP3.
Here's what we have to do for that, by the way, is that we need to set up every mic we own. You hear this, Alex? Every mic is just surrounded in an array, an amphitheater-esque array in front of Logan's face so that you capture every nuance of this.
And
vocal
here's what
I
encourage for that is if this is something we really want to do, and all of you out there, if you're vocal enough about it, they'll actually let me do this. Mm-hmm. I would encourage Freddie to come with his lute and like be like, woo.
You don't wait, just
to
real
guide
quick.
The meditation.
It's clear you don't know what a lute is, but Dez, let's finish this out.
This is Logan.
This is Dez.
This is Benji.
See you next time, guys.